Good morning. Good morning. It's wonderful to see everyone. It's great to see our great friend Janet and JR here with us this morning. Welcome. You know, we all awoke yesterday morning with the terrible news of the conflict in Israel, and I'd like for us to begin by offering a prayer for the people of that land. You can bow with me in prayer. Lord God, we are saddened, just as many people all across the world, to see and hear the news of the conflict in the land of Israel. Father, we pray for not only the people of Israel, but for the people of Palestine as well. Lord, that regardless of which faith, I know your heart grieves for what has taken place, because they are all your creation and your children. We lift them up to you. We lift up the parents who are mourning the loss of their loved ones. Father, we pray for peace in that land. We pray for healing. Father, we prayed for your power and your spirit to come upon that land, Lord, to bring a resolution and a peace that people may experience your love, may live, Lord, in a life that you have created for them, in a life of peace and hope and joy. Father, we just commit them to you, Lord. Pray for your protection upon the families and the land and the innocent that's caught between the crossfires. Thank you, Jesus. We lift up the situation to you, knowing that you are in control, that you will lead and you will go before them. In your name we pray. Amen. How many of you are Disney fans? Disney animation fans. All right. I'm not talking about the recent movies. I'm talking about more of the modern classics, right, in the 90s and the 2000s, like Toy Story, A Bug's Life, Mulan, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, Little Mermaid, Finding Nemo, Monsters, Inc., and so forth. Man, I think for about 10 years of my life as a young father, that's all the movies I watched was Disney movies, because my kids were really into it. Right, they loved it. They even dressed up as Buzz Lightyear and Mulan and some creature out of Monsters, Inc. for Halloween, and we had season passes to Disneyland. We were there weekly, you know, if not every other week, and Janet was with us when we were even invited to a VIP, you know, tour, a restaurant there that's very exclusive, right, for a day. So it was all about Disney, right, for about 10 years of my life, and it's fair to say that I'm okay if I don't ever watch another Disney animation for the rest of my life. I'll be okay. One of our favorite movies in our family was The Lion King. It was so good, right? And if you remember that movie, there was a particular scene in that movie when the father, Mufasa, falls from the cliff and was killed. You guys remember that? And the young lion, Simba, watches this happen from afar. And do you remember how he responded? You remember the movie? There was outside forces at play that ultimately caused the death of Mufasa, but it was Simba's willful disobedience that contributed to all the chaos that was happening and ultimately the death of his father, Mufasa. How does Simba respond? Seeing the death of his father and realize that he was part of this chaos, he ran. He ran far, far away and decided to live in a different life, far away from home. Now, was it the worst life? No, it actually was pretty good. You know, did he live the life of crime? No. He actually became a vegetarian, if you remember, in that movie. But he even met some new friends, right? He lived an interesting life, and he met some new friends Timon and Pumbaa and Nala. Nala's a female lion that he fell in love with. But Simba was miles away from where he was supposed to be. And not only that, he was far away from who he was supposed to become. He was nowhere near his home, a home that desperately needed him to be engaged as well. It's a fascinating story because similarly this happens to all of us in our lives, even as Christians. We see this play out all the time, that people say, that we meet people in our lives, that people say that I am about the things of God, that I love Jesus, I am walking with him, but then something happened. Now that person is over there. Joy and I have been back for about a convicting encounter. Three times Jesus questioned Peter's love for him. Is not merely a casual conversation, but it was a profound moment of restoration and reconciliation. This conversation was a significant moment in the turnaround of Peter's life. Anybody know why Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Anybody know? Because it mirrors the three times Peter denied Jesus. This was intentional by Jesus for several reasons in the process of restoration. When Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" three times, it forces Peter to say, to proclaim among the people, the other disciples, that I love you. I love you, Jesus. It allows Peter to publicly and personally affirm his love and commitment to Jesus Christ among the other disciples. The Bible says Peter was hurt. It highlighted the depth of Peter's regret and sorrow for his previous denial. The question, "Do you love me?" by his response, it provided an opportunity for Peter to receive forgiveness and restoration from Jesus, reinforcing the message of grace and reconciliation. And lastly, Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." That was important because it reestablishes Peter's commission to serve and lead God's people and bring the gospel to the world. That was a process of reconciliation and restoration. The conversation basically Jesus was having with Peter is this. He said, Hey, Peter, move on, man. I need a shepherd to tend to my sheep. Stop running. Get up. Look at the world. It is messed up. My people need you. I need you to get it together. Forget about what you did. The past is the past. You're not a victim. It is over. It is done. Look ahead towards the future. I love you. My grace is sufficient for you. Let's heal the wounds. Let's go. Do what you were born to do. I need you to build my church. Tend to my lambs, feed my sheep. I need you to follow me. That was the reason. That was the conversation. I'd like to draw a few lessons from our passage this morning as an encouragement to us all on the restoration power of God. Now, restoration happens when we, number one, acknowledge our brokenness. When we acknowledge our brokenness to God. First, the idea of restoration reminds us of our own human limitations and brokenness. Just as Peter denied Jesus three times, we too also make mistakes. We fall short of God's standards and experience moments of weakness. similar to Peter, acknowledging our brokenness and failure or areas where we have fallen short, is the very first step towards restoration, as it prompts us to turn to God for healing and renewal. Acknowledge our brokenness. Number two is recognizing God's unfailing love. Recognizing God's unfailing love. The story of Peter and Jesus highlights this unwavering love of God. Despite Peter's failure, Jesus did not reject him or hold a grudge against him, like we humans often do, right? We hold grudges. Instead, Jesus sought Peter out intentionally and initiated a conversation that led to restoration. This demonstrates God's relentless pursuit of each and every one of us and his deep love for us. No matter how far we have strayed or how many times that we have stumbled, God's love remains constant. And he is always ready to welcome us back into his presence. So number two, God's unfailing love. Number three, repentance and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness. See, restoration is a direct result of repentance and forgiveness. When we recognize our mistakes and sincerely repent, we turn away from our sinful ways, God's forgiveness is available. Just as Peter confesses his love for Jesus and repented for his denials, we too also must engage in honest confession and repentance. This involves not only acknowledging our own wrongdoings, but also expressing our genuine remorse for a desire for change. Confession and repentance opens the door. They are the key that opens the door for God's forgiveness and restoration. Fourth is a fresh start. A restoration gives us a fresh start. Restoration provides us with a clean slate and a fresh start, just as Jesus recommissioned Peter for service. Feed my sheep in front of the others. He commissioned Peter to re-engage into his service. God invites us to continue our journey of faith with renewed purpose and commitment, each and every one of us. Our past sins and failures do not define who we are going forward. It does not disqualify us from serving God. Instead, they can become part of our testimony of God's transformative power and grace. Amen? Number five, great empowerment. Great empowerment. Restoration often leads to great empowerment. As Jesus entrusted Peter with a responsibility to feed and care for his sheep, God may use our experiences, our brokenness, and restoration to equip us for more significant roles in his kingdom. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, through our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. Through our weaknesses, God's strength is made perfect. You see, we can become more effective tools for his grace when we receive God's power in our lives. Lastly, there's also a message of hope. A message of hope. The story of Peter's restoration is a message of hope for all of us. Reminds us that no matter how deeply we have fallen, no matter how far we are from God, we are never beyond the reach of God's grace and restoration. Our faith is built not on our own perfection, but on the perfect work of Christ. Let me say that again. Our faith is not built on our own perfection and what we strive to be, but on the perfect work of Christ, who can redeem and restore even the most broken aspects of our lives. So, men, where you are in your life today, God wants to restore you, to give you a new hope and a new future. The story between Jesus and Peter serves really as a powerful reminder of the transformative power of Jesus' resurrection and the depth of his love for his people. His love and forgiveness and grace are available to each and every one of us. Even in our moments of doubt and denial and failure, Jesus seeks to restore, to heal, to reaffirm our commitment to him. Through restoration, we experience the depth of God's love and the beauty of redemptive work in our lives and draws us into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior. So, what is the result of this for Peter? A man that proclaimed to love Jesus, to stay with Jesus during the most difficult times, yet he ran and denied Jesus three times. And Jesus re-engages him in this conversation to come to reconciliation and restoration and recommissions him to do his work. What happens to Peter? You see, Peter was an ordinary fisherman who was known throughout the Bible as a hothead, very temperamental. If you're a football fan, he's like a fullback who's kind of just half a brain short of being good, because all they do is they hand the ball and they just run straight. That's all they do, right? They just go, right? He was the one, if you remember, just before he denied Jesus. During the Last Supper, Jesus had asked all of them to come pray with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they all fell asleep, right? And that's when Judas had betrayed Jesus, and people have come to arrest Jesus, and there was Peter. Remember what he did? As the crowd gathered, he pulled out his fishing knife, even though in the Bible it said there were two swords, but no, he didn't grab those. He grabbed out his little fishing knife. And he tried to stab somebody, ended up cutting off the ear of one of the soldiers. That's the kind of man Peter was. And Jesus said, stop. You need to stop, right? So this Peter, after his recommission, becomes one of the most prominent and influential figures in Christian history. After this encounter by the Sea of Galilee, Peter became the leader of the 12 disciples. In Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19, Jesus refers to Peter as the rock upon which he will build his church. We'll come back in a second. The rock upon which he will build his church. And Peter's ministry was foundational in expanding the gospel of Jesus Christ beyond the Jewish community to the Gentile, which are the non-Jews. Peter was the one that influenced the Council of Jerusalem to accept Gentiles into the church. I don't know if you understand how important that is. Gentiles are non-Jews. The gospel originally was for the Jews, but it got expanded because of Peter's work. And his ministry spread far and wide, and eventually Peter establishes the Church of Rome. The Church of Rome. What is that today? That's right. Thank you, Janet. The Catholic Church. the rock upon which he will build his church. It was the Catholic Church. Peter was martyred in 64 AD by crucifixion at the hand of Nero for his faith. Far from the days of denying Jesus out of fear, his commitment and unwavering faith and the willingness to endure persecution, even death on a cross, left a lasting example of the power of restoration can have in the lives of believers. Brothers and sisters, let us be reminded of the incredible power of restoration that we have in Jesus, that through his love and forgiveness, he can transform each of our brokenness, our shame, our guilt into testimonies of his grace. Like Peter, let us embrace the restoration offered by Christ and walk in the renewed purpose he provides for us each and every day. Joe, can you come up? I'd like for us to bow our heads for a few moments. Just in quiet meditations, if you can hear these words. Today, I don't know how far you've gone or where you have ran to, how unworthy you feel to be loved by Jesus. I don't know how you feel today about Jesus. Perhaps for a long time you had a sincere faith in God but got derailed somehow. Or maybe it's just been a really hard week, a month, a year. I don't know. But you need to realize this morning that you are not too far gone. God rejoices in coming to those who are in the midst of failure, in the midst of shame, and he's saying to you, the relationship is still open. Jesus is saying to you this morning, I love you. The wounds of your hearts can be dealt with by my grace if you let me. I will heal it so we can move on. So join me in this life that I have created for you. To follow me, I want your life to be extraordinary. For I bring you a purpose and a hope. Let your life shine in such a way that brings glory to God. Don't let your life be dictated by your failures, but let your life be dictated by faith. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is saying to you this morning, let me restore you. Your sins are forgiven because I paid for it on the cross. Stop running. I know the wrongs that you have done in the past because I buried it. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Tend to my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me.